Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. Thank God for another opportunity to get into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. What a blessing it is to be able to look into his Word. Man, we thank God for that. And we're able to come to you one more time. And we'd like to say good day to everybody, wherever you may be. Even if you are not listening live at this time, but perhaps in the future, you're listening to the on-demand replay, thank God for you. I'd like to say welcome to everyone on this 15th day of June. Thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends. Thank God for you. We appreciate you. Also, our Facebook listeners and also our Twitter followers and listeners. Thank God for you. Amen. It's a blessing. We're the church that believe in the Bible as the apostles who were taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he gave them the message and told them to go to the city of Jerusalem and to wait until they be endued with power from on high. So they knew what the message was of the death, of the burial, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and soon to be, and also the ascension, soon to be coming back again, the catching away of the church, or the appearing of the Lord, which is a difference in the appearing and the second coming. The appearing is when the church meets the Lord in the air, like the Bible said, for the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So that is the appearing of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is when, as in the book of Jude, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. When he comes back to the earth to set up, to fight, and ultimately to set up to rule for 1,000 years. So the message was given to those whom he had chosen. And along the line, they cast lots after Judas had hanged himself and betrayed the Lord. And the lot fell upon Matthias. And then ultimately, the lot fell upon the Apostle Paul, was the apostle to the Gentiles. There was no lot cast. But ultimately, the Apostle Paul was chosen by the Lord himself. Like he said about all the other apostles, nor one of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord. You had to be taught by God. And Apostle Paul says when he, in this book of Corinthians, the 15th chapter of the first book, he said, and last of all, he was seen of me, talking about the Lord. So we know there are people that call themselves apostles nowadays, but there are no apostles nowadays. That is incorrect. And because one of the signs of being an apostle, you had to see the Lord. Amen. You had to be an eyewitness. You had to be taught by him. Ultimately, they died a martyr's death, with the exception of the apostle John. So we know the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is in all, in you all, above all, and through all. So we know that that church was started on the day of Pentecost. We know many other things that have happened during the Nicene Council and all these other different religions, so-called, that started many years and sometimes even hundreds of years after the day of Pentecost. These religions or so-called persuasions were started of men. And then we know that one where someone had embraced an angel, and that was exactly what the scripture told us not to do. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. So we know that the apostles' doctrine is correct. It's just what the Lord said, just like he says, these are the things that I spoke unto you, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me, what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said. And so that's what the Bible is letting us to know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So thank God that we have the Holy Scriptures to stand on. So that's exactly what we have been doing, is going through the Scriptures. And like here lately, we have been going through the book of 2 Corinthians, going through the Word of the Lord verse by verse. So we were in the fifth chapter in the book of 2 Corinthians on last week, and this is what we've been talking about. And most of all, we've been substantiating about the oneness of God, which is so very important for people to believe that there is one God, because there is but one God. So it matters not what man says, all these different names. People are calling God, and people are saying, well, whatever you call, somebody said, he or she, or whatever you call God. No, God is not a she. God is a he, known in the masculine gender, if you want to use that terminology. But the Spirit of God is neuter gender. He is neither male nor female. That's why the Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So that's in 1 Timothy. So you can read that. You read in his pastoral epistle that he wrote to Timothy. So that's the thing. Even the Bible says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. No, they don't believe God as far as believing. They know God's word is true, but the point being that they know that there is one God. There is no such thing as a Trinity. There is a Godhead and one person in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God is one, and he can never be what he is not. So in other words, he cannot be contained, point being. When he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was and never ceased to be, he's always God. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. He can come to you, leave you, ain't gone nowhere. Amen. He's God. He does what he will. Amen. In the army of heaven, none can say unto him, can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? It is the one God that we are talking about. There's one throne in heaven and one that sat on the throne. So that's what people can understand. You know, That's why David wanted to build a God a house. So the word of the Lord, heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. So how are you going to build a house for God? You cannot contain God, is the point being. So his eyes run to and fro throughout the earth. He's looking for those that have a perfect heart toward him. So the hand of God is the word of God. So there's many things that people don't understand about God, and that's why he came. And that's why we read this scripture every week in our intro about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so folks don't understand. This is what our historian was trying to do, was doing on last week and week before Genesis 1 and 26, and God made, let us make man, what God says. So we know in that being the church, and the church is still making man because Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So he does use those that are in the body to perfect the body. This is how he works. So it's in the hands, the gospel has been committed into the hands of men or mankind or human beings or human agents. That is human beings and not angels. So we thank God for that. Like we said that we had left off last week in the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I believe we were in the scripture about we groan and being clothed upon that our house, which is from heaven, is about where we left off at on last week. But like I said, just keep trying to reiterate the oneness of God. The same God in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant is the same God in the New Testament or the New Covenant or the New Will. So that's what we always have been. Sometimes we don't go stay totally in the scriptures as far as verse by verse, but we haven't lost our train of thought, and that is that it's all about Jesus. And that's the one, he is the theme of the Bible. He is the center of attraction. So thank God. Also today I have my co-host and our historian and the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. So we're going to let him give his food for thought, and we're going to move on from there.
Amen. Jesus truly is the theme of the Bible. But we have to make a distinction, and I think that a lot of people fail to make this distinction, that there is a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is that which foreshadows Jesus' coming. It was all types and shadows, all symbols, and they are to be used, Old Testament scriptures are to be used for our examples, or things that which came before time. The New Testament, there's a great distinction because once Jesus died, the Old Testament was put away, the Old Covenant, because Testament and Covenant come from the same root word. The Old Covenant got put away, and that there is a New Covenant that has started through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He is the testator that gave his blood in order to seal the Testament. So we cannot be caught up in Old Covenant manners and Old Covenant ways of thinking, because that is a way of thinking that was put away. And this is what Paul's main goal was twofold. One, to keep all Judaism or all of the Old Covenant out of the church, and also to keep paganism or heathenism out of the church. We cannot be caught up on Old Testament customs. Now, There's many out of the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses, nine of those commandments were once again renewed or carried over into the New Testament. There are many things that carried over because God is a holy God and he wants to be served by a holy people,
yeah,
which Israel was supposed to be, yet they failed. But now we cannot serve him on Sabbath days. Let's go to, and while I'm pulling that up, it looks like Elder Cannon has the scripture where it talks about testament can't be a testament without the blood of a testator. In Hebrews, I believe, is that the
yes.
ninth chapter?
Yeah, ninth chapter.
Mm-hmm. Can you read that off?
Yeah. So just like we say, the whole point being where he had to die, and so the whole point is Christ is becoming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building,
mm-hmm.
neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. With the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? A question. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And here's the key right here. For where a testament is,
mm-hmm.
there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
Mm-hmm.
For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth.
Mm-hmm.
So one good thing about Jesus, like we die and leave a will, we hope that it's not contested. But Jesus made sure we got the will,
mm-hmm.
because he rose from the dead and gave it to us.
And it's without contest.
Yes.
And we have to understand that every covenant that God established after the fall of Adam was made by blood. Every covenant. And really, even with Adam in the garden, it was still confirmed by blood because the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. He knew the state of which way Adam was going.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other topic to discuss. We know, though, that every covenant was established by blood. Our covenant was established by the blood of the Lamb
yeah.
of God. Jesus Christ hanging up on that cross was the blood that confirmed our covenant or our testament or our will.
Yeah.
Or his will for us. So now, with the cross, with him dying upon the cross, again, there was twofold. He put away the old covenant because he divorced the northern ten tribes. He handed them a bill of divorce, and I believe that's in the book of Jeremiah. And upon the cross, when he died, he put away that covenant through death. Because when you put away a marriage, there was only two ways. One, a bill of divorcement for fornication, for cause of fornication. And two was death. So he put away the two wives that he had before. That was Israel, the ten tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom, which was the tribe of Benjamin and also who had assimilated into Judah. So he put those two wives away. And with that, he created or established a new covenant that was to come forth. Now, that covenant was not all the way confirmed until the day of Pentecost, when man could receive salvation through the blood by baptism in his name and also receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, his Spirit. And with that, people try to take on, and I'm discussing this because we had a situation last week, or we had an encounter last week by two gentlemen that thought themselves to be Hebrews. They were of the the African American race. They thought themselves to be black Jews, and they wanted to make an argument for the case that everybody that came over on slave ships was really not of African descent or Hamitic descent, but rather of Shemite descent, and therefore the real Jews. And they wanted to, they were very adamant in proving this, and they wanted to make this to be so, which, even if it were true, and I'm not saying whether it's true or not true, there's things. Our heritage was created through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, all of that ended at Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He is the author and finisher of our faith. That means that he created a new heritage, a new people that was not a people, and made them to be so. So we do not follow after bloodlines. We do not follow after genealogies. Paul writes of this for us to shun or put away genealogies, endless genealogies.
Mm-hmm.
He told this both to Timothy and to Titus.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Jewish faith, that was only they were under the law. The law was only to be our schoolmaster.
Yeah.
That which was to show us, that which was to come afterwards. But that which was to come after the law came.
Yeah.
Through Jesus Christ and brought us grace and brought us truth. And that's what we are in now. So if we look into the book of Colossians, the second chapter, we can, let's start at verse number 10 in the second chapter of the book of Colossians. Ye, the body of Christ, are complete in him.
Mm-hmm.
So the saints are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So this, again, circumcision was an Old Testament or Old Covenant sign.
Mm-hmm.
But we are circumcised also in the church, not by the circumcision of man's hands, but it is in our heart.
Yes.
In putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Ye are buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. This lets us know that baptism is essential, because you have to be buried with him and you have to rise again with him.
Yeah.
And once you rise again with him, you put off all the old heritage. You put off everything that you were, and you rise up a new creature. Baptism is essential to salvation. People say that baptism is just an ordinance or is just an outward showing of faith. Well, and people also try to say that baptism is a work and that we can't be saved by works. But baptism is not a work of ourselves. Baptism is the showing or the partaking of his work that he did upon the cross.
Yeah.
Because we didn't do a work. He did the work by dying and shedding his blood for us. That is why baptism is not what can be called the gospel of works. It is a work within him. He's the one that created the work. He did the work.
Yeah.
We're not doing this work.
Right. It's also a commandment.
Yeah. He commanded us. He said, be baptized. Amen. And it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's talking about the law, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. How was he able to take the law out of the way? Because he fulfilled the entire law.
Yeah.
So the law no longer hinders us from grace, but it through the blood, that law is able to cover us. Amen? And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you. We are not to be judged in meat, in drink, in respect of unholy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath. So to try to judge a man for not worshiping on the Sabbath, but rather on the first day of the week, as the church has been established, we cannot be judged by men according to that.
Right.
Because that's not what the church is. The church isn't in drink. It isn't in meat. It isn't in a holy day or a holiday. It isn't in a Sabbath day. All of that has been put away. The old covenant has been put away. We are in a new covenant. We are in a new testament. And Jesus Christ is our heritage. Once we rise up out of baptism and rise up as a new creature, we put off everything that we once were. So even if the black race is the real Jews of this earth, it has all been put away in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Once you put on Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Indian, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Chinese, Japanese, Russian, it doesn't matter. You are in Christ.
Yes.
And therefore you are part of his kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. You are part of his body. And you have been translated out of the kingdom of death and into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yes.
Amen. So we are now new creatures with a new heritage. A heritage can be created at any time. Amen. There's nothing to stop you from creating a heritage at this point in time and going from henceforth to create a new heritage. It's what you choose to remember. That's what a heritage is that which you choose to remember and choose to follow after and choose to hold on to. So people try to hold on to their old lives, try to hold on to their old genealogies, try to hold on to their history. Amen. And there's nothing really wrong with knowing your history and not trying to repeat your history, but trying to put your history above Jesus Christ is in error. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is our history. He makes our history. Amen. He's the one that formed history in the first place.
Yeah.
So we have to not put heritage or put our genealogy is above Jesus Christ because he is our genealogy.
Right. And just like he said, we don't know what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, the Father, that is. We're going to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see him as he is. You go back in the old under the law, during the time of the gospel, before the death of Jesus, in St. John 6:63, he said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh profited nothing."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." So what he is saying is, it doesn't matter about your flesh. That's what we're getting ready to talk about. We get to it. This earthly tabernacle, it doesn't matter about this earthly tabernacle. It's going back to the dust.
Yeah. and again, that's what we were talking about last
yeah.
week, beginning with 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter,
yeah.
putting off that old tabernacle.
Right.
And we're shortly getting back to there, because we have to see how we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
But let's talk about in 4th chapter of Galatians. We were under a schoolmaster, but let's look at the allegory that was established through the seed of the flesh and through the seed of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start at verse 21. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear of the law?" This is Galatians, the 4th chapter, starting at the 21st verse. "For it is written," where is it written? In the law.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he's talking about. Because he's talking to people that wanted to come back under the law, even though they're under grace.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to come and put themselves under the bondage of the law. Because that's what the law does, is create bondage through having to say that you're holy by serving after feast days and serving after Sabbaths and serving after different ordinances. It is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, that is Hagar, and the other by a free woman, that is Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
But he who was of the bondwoman, that is Ishmael, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by promise.
Mm-hmm.
That's Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac, in all scientific theory, was not supposed to be born at the time he was born.
Right.
Because Sarah was past age, past childbearing years.
Mm-hmm.
Her womb was barren. This, again, shows the resurrection of the dead, because God resurrected a dead womb and brought forth a promise,
yeah,
out of Sarah and brought forth Isaac.
Yeah.
This, so Isaac is the seed of promise. Ishmael was born after the flesh. Which things are an allegory or a parallel story? What is the parallel story? Of the two covenants. For these are the two covenants, one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. So the covenant that was started on Mount Sinai was the covenant of the law. That is where Moses received the law and brought the law back down from. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's talking about the church. It's not talking about, it's talking about the new Jerusalem,
mm-hmm,
the dwelling place of the church. So the church, the Jerusalem, which is now, is the actual city of Jerusalem, where the Jews dwell. But the Jerusalem, which is from above, is the mother of all. That is where the church dwelt. That is where the church was nourished. That is where the church actually had her start. The new Jerusalem is actually the place where the third heaven is, where the throne of God dwells.
Mm.
Because when New Jerusalem descends and stops herself above the earth, the throne is actually going to be in New Jerusalem. And we know that the church is going to be right there in the throne with God. Again, that's going off into a whole other topic, but if you look in the book of the Revelation, in the third chapter, he tells the church at the Laodiceans, he who hears my words and follow after me will sit in my throne. And then the description of New Jerusalem coming down, you see that the throne is in New Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
For it is written, verse 27, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, saith the scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing that the children of the bondwoman, or the children that are bringing themselves under the law once again, there's nothing that they can say with us, because we have two different promises. There are promises of Israel, and those promises have to be fulfilled, because God is a promise fulfilling God.
Mm.
And there's some promises of Israel that have not been fulfilled yet. And he will have to bring Israel back into covenant relationship in order to fulfill those promises, and they will have rule over the earth. He will establish the throne of David once again upon this earth, and the children of Israel will rule upon this earth. But the children of the Spirit, the children of the promise, have a whole different set of promises.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful not to take Israel's promises and bring them into the church.
Right.
Because we do not have those promises. We have greater promises. We have better promises than that which is strictly for Israel.
Yeah.
So that's not to say that Israel will not be blessed, that there will not be a time where Israel will be brought back into covenant relationship, but we are not of that. So we have to cast that way of thinking, we have to cast that manner of worshiping away. We have to cast that out of the church. We cannot have that in the church of the living God, because that is bringing us back into bondage, and we are not in bondage, we are in liberty. Amen.
Yes, and that's the problem with too many so-called churches nowadays. They're taking Israel's blessings and trying to force them upon people, even here now on the earth. And the main scripture that they're using for their home base is Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. They're taking that all out of context, because just like I said earlier, that they say, okay, we're the head, not the tail. That is not talking about us. That is talking about Israel.
It's definitely talking about
Israel.
It's
definitely talking about Israel. And the point being, just like we said, he is the head of the church, talking about Jesus. He's the head of the church, which is his body. Who's the head? Christ is the head. So they take that all out of context.
Yeah.
We're the head, not the tail. No, Israel's the head.
Yeah. And we cannot take Israel's promises and bring them on ourselves.
Mm-mm.
And you have to look at dispensations. You have to look at times of when the scripture should be fulfilled, or if it has already been fulfilled. The 28th chapter isn't already the way fulfilled.
No.
But we try to take that again, like you said, and try to make it say we'll be the head, not the tail. It's a completely different covenant.
Right.
Amen?
And we can't even compete, just like they say, we cannot compete with the world as far as money or none of that in the church. It's like somebody said, there are 400 people in America got more money than 150 million people in a number of states, including Michigan, Texas, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, and I forget the other states. 400 people got more money than 150 million people in all those states.
Amen.
So you can't even compete.
You can't compete. And money has not left the earth.
No.
It's the way that they have arranged it to where you can't get no more money. Amen.
Right.
Or
they're trickling it down to you.
Yeah, and the trickle is real slow. Amen. But with that being said, we are not under Israel's promises. We are not Israel. The church is not Israel. Amen.
Right.
And honestly, I don't want to be Israel.
No. Israel is God's people forever. We are the heavenly seed, and they are the earthly seed.
Amen.
And so we don't.
He laid out two promises for Israel. He said, your seed will be as the stars of the sky, and your seed will be as the sand of the earth. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two different seeds right there. Amen.
And you can't count neither one of them. Innumerable, just like you said.
Amen.
So the point being, just like you say, in the book of Galatians, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. So that being the point, nobody can brag, I'm this, I'm that. Because God is going to bring even the remnant of the Jews, the 144,000, God's going to bring them in.
Amen.
And that is, like we say, not in the throne, but before the sea of glass.
Amen. And let me clarify this scripture. Paul said, I become as all things for all men. Amen. So he did not change the gospel message. Hear this. Paul, like I said before, Paul had to keep all Judaism out of the gospel, and he had to keep all paganism out of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul also had the wisdom to know how to speak to different groups of people in order to get them to believe on the gospel. So he could come at Jews, since he was a Jew himself of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He could come to the Jews out of a Jewish point of view.
Yeah.
And present unto them the gospel. This is what he preached out of, and I believe that's the 26th chapter of Acts, when he said, I worship the God of my fathers. Because he was in a group, a setting of Jews.
Right.
And he saw who all was there, and he was able to distinguish that some were Pharisees, some were Sadducees. So he brought up the point of the resurrection, where they had an argument over that. But he was also able to go into the Gentiles and come from a Gentile point of view because he was in a Gentile city, Damascus, or not Damascus, but Tarsus, and was able to, not correlate, but be able to talk with Gentiles and be able to relate with them and get close to them. And he was not bound with them by eating meats because they ate all sorts of meats. And all meats are clean just as long as they're not sacrificed unto idols. That was a decree made by the Apostle James in the 15th chapter of Acts. So Gentiles or any sort of people for that matter, we are not bound to meats. We are not bound to drinks. Like I said, I read that in Colossians. We're not bound to the things that they were bound to with the law. We are the fulfillment of the law, amen?
Yeah.
The church is the fulfillment of the law.
Yeah.
So we are not bound by the law, amen? Okay, so with that being said, I just had to get that off of.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things that just stay with you for a while, and you have to get them off of your chest, off your head. And I feel fairly relieved off of that. So let's move on into 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, once again, and we talk about the tabernacle that we are to put off and to put on a new tabernacle. So we're going to put off the terrestrial body and put on the celestial body. And for this we do groan, being burdened. We are persecuted. And we want to see that there's days that I wake up that, man, I just don't want to go out into this world anymore.
Yeah.
I just want to go on with Jesus. Amen. But we have to walk in holiness nonetheless, because we have something that we want to see. We have a high mark that we are pressing toward.
Yeah.
So now it says that, let's start up in the 4th verse in the 5th chapter. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And he hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that word earnest means the down payment or the proceeder of God in his fullness, which is the Holy Ghost within us. So we have a little piece of glory within us, and we should all be glorying in that, because that shows that we are sealed. We are chosen and we are sealed in him, that we may be brought unto him as a vessel to serve him for eternity. Let's go into the book of Ephesians, and I believe it's around the 14th verse. Yes, first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let's start in the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, there's some words or some buzzwords that you should look for in the book of Ephesians. The word in Christ, the words us, our, we, all of those things are very key to the Christian faith, because he's talking about the saints. He's talking about the church. And so all of these, he's laying out promises that are for the church. Not promises for anybody else. The promises for the church are being laid out, and the mysteries for the church are laid out within this book of Ephesians. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of meat that goes along with this book. Maybe one day we will get to this book, but we're just going to talk about what's in the first chapter. We want to get to the 14th verse.
Mm-hmm.
It says, blessed us, the saints, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us, the saints, in him before the foundation of the world, that we, the saints, should be holy and without blame before him, God, in love,
mm-hmm.
having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That right there shows us that our adoption to Jesus Christ puts off all our heritage, puts off all our genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether you, what race, what creed you are, what nationality you are. You are in, if you are in Christ, you have a new heritage, you have a new genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins, according to the richness of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The saints know the mystery of his will.
Mm-hmm.
They know what God wants for his church, because he laid it out to us. He gave us a promise. Amen?
Amen.
According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So how do you know the mystery of his will? You have to be in him.
Yeah.
Because he laid out the purpose within himself, that the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ.
Yeah.
Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So how are we predestinated? Through his purpose. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Through his foreknowledge, as he says in the book of Acts, through his foreknowledge of who is going to believe on him,
yeah,
in eternity, he predestinated us and chose us within him. He didn't choose me and overlook my brother and my sister. He chose me because I said yes to him, Lord.
Yeah.
He said, are you going to believe my gospel? Are you going to believe that I died, I was buried, and I rose again? Yes, Lord. I believe you. So then he predestinated me to be with him. Amen?
Amen.
Because he worked his own counsel. There was nobody that worked counsel with him. Amen? There was no Trinity that was working together in counsel.
No.
He worked counsel by himself.
Yeah.
After his own will. There's no plurality in this. In his own will, he took counsel. He told Isaiah, who did I take counsel of? Who did I talk to when I made man? Who did I talk to when I formed the earth? I didn't talk to anybody.
I did it in my own mind.
I created the earth in my own mind and brought forth the sands of the sea. I brought forth the seas. I brought forth the earth. I brought forth mankind by my own counsel.
Yeah.
Amen? That's how I created all things. I made man by way of the church, because I created the church. The church, the body of Christ, was the first thing that God created and made. That was the beginning of the creation of God. And after that, man was fashioned in the image. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye are also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, or the down payment of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So he purchased us with his own blood upon his cross. He purchased us. And in fact, he purchased the whole world. But he didn't want the whole world. He didn't want everything that was in the world. I want to liken it unto the parable which the Lord laid out, that a man purchased the field. The field is the world, in order to get the treasure that was in the field.
Yeah.
So he didn't purchase the field because he wanted to yield results out of the field. He purchased the field because there was a treasure hidden within the field that he wanted to get out of that field. Amen?
Yeah.
So we are that treasure that is within the field. We have been purchased. So we are not of our own, we are of him, amen? Mm-hmm. We are of his ownership. That is why we cannot do things of our own will, we cannot do things of our own admonition, because we are technically not our own property anymore.
Bought with a price.
We are bought with a price, amen? So, that is the earnest that we are talking about. That is the seal that we are talking about when we talk about earnest and we talk about seal. So he gave us that to show us that we have an inheritance coming. We have a portion coming. When David said, "The Lord is my portion," the Lord is my inheritance. I'm going to inherit. I'm not going to just inherit money and cars and buildings and mountains. I'm going to actually inherit or come into the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what my inheritance is. That's what my portion is. It is in him. Amen?
Yeah.
So he has given us to us the earnest of the Spirit. That is a portion of the portion. Amen.
Yeah.
Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So as long as we're in this body, we cannot gain our full portion or our full inheritance. So we are absent from the Lord. That is why we groan out of this tabernacle. That is why we are longing to see him. Because we want to, I don't know about you, if I have an inheritance that I want to receive, I want to get that as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I want to get to my inheritance. Amen?
Amen.
We walk by faith, not by sight. So we're walking by faith that we are going to receive an inheritance, not by something that we see, by something that is not seen. That is the whole basis of faith. You can't have faith in something that you see. You have faith in a hope.
Yeah.
And a hope that is seen is not hope.
Right.
But we have a hope that is not seen. But we know that it's coming by faith. We are confident, I say, that, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, this is, again, a scripture that is taken way out of context a lot of times, that says that once you die, you go straight to heaven and go straight to be on with the Lord. That is not what that's saying.
No.
To be absent in the body is to put off all of this living to be present with the Lord. We are looking for a day, the rapture of the church, the catching away, the gathering of the church. It didn't happen May 21st. We weren't looking for it to happen on May 21st. Not the true church.
Right.
And
it wasn't going to happen because no man knows the day nor the hour.
And you can't, it wasn't according to the scriptures that it was happening. This man was basing it off of numbers. He was basing it off of his own calculations, not by the Bible.
Right. And it's not going to happen 6 months from that date either. It might be before then.
Amen. And so we are looking for that gathering. That is when we will be absent in this body. But we cannot go. Those that are in death will not precede or prevent or go before those which are alive. And we cannot leave without the dead, and the dead cannot leave without us. We have to all go together to be with him in glory. Amen?
Yeah.
That is what 1 Thessalonians is talking about. We cannot leave without the dead, and the dead cannot leave without us. It is just as it was in the days of Moses that Joseph said, you have to take my bones out of Egypt when you leave here.
Yeah.
So the bones of Joseph cannot leave without the children of Israel, but he bound them by a promise saying, you cannot leave without my bones.
Yeah.
So it's just as it is in Christ, we are not going to leave without the dead. The dead's not going to leave without the living. So it doesn't matter whether you're dead or living, as long as you're in Christ, you are going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yeah.
At his choosing, at his time, at the appointed time where he has called for us. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to be absent from the body. I'd rather be absent from the body. This is what he's saying. I'd rather do this, but because once I do that, I'm going to be present with him at the day of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
When people say that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, that is not talking about a death. See, that whole theology and way of thinking, again, is paganism. That's paganistic in nature. That's Greco-Roman in nature, because when a person would die in the Greco-Roman world, they thought it to him to go to the underworld or the land of the dead where Hades was. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So they replaced that with going to the underworld and going, that was for the evil people, but we were to go with where the gods were. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
In Mount Olympus. That's not how it is. Amen? That's paganism. We don't have paganism in the gospel. We have the resurrection in the gospel. And we will be carried off into glory with him. Amen?
Amen.
How many minutes? We got 2 minutes? We're going to close up. We're going to take these last couple verses, and then we'll close up. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That's the important part. You have to be accepted of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Does he accept your worship? Does he accept your sacrifice in order to be with him? Amen? So you have to take a self-examination. Is Christ accepting what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And in all things that I do, in all things, the ways that I carry myself, have I been accepted in him? Or am I doing this of my own will? Am I doing this of my own justification and making myself feel good? Amen? And that's your reward right there. You're making yourself feel good in this lifetime. But you are not, if you are not doing the things that God laid out in his will, in his New Testament, you are not being accepted of him. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he have done, whether it be good or bad. We all are before the judgment seat, even in Christ, even in the church.
Yeah.
We are actually being judged before
right
everybody else. We're being judged right now. But with our judgment, once you get baptized and get your sins forgiven and washed away, and you have on you, you put off all things, and all things are washed away and to be remembered no more. He throws your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Or the sea of forgetting. So on that note, we will close. We will pick this back up. Again, we didn't get very far in the fifth chapter, but we'll pick it back up on next week. And on that, we will close out. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh, justified seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.